I mean, the wonderful thing about the story of Annie is what happens to the little orphan. I mean, she's adopted by Daddy Warbucks. She lives a wonderful life. She has all these wonderful things. But what if she never gets out of the cruel orphanage? What if it just ends up that way forever? Then it's not a wonderful story. It's a tragedy, isn't it? And yet, so many people live their lives with this hope for tomorrow, with this wonderful hope, and it'll only crash. That their life won't be like the wonderful story of Annie. Someday, all they've hoped for comes true. But what they find is that their hope is dashed to pieces. And this proverb tells us about those whose hopes will be dashed. That in the end, it doesn't get better. That all they hope for perishes. But it also points to those whose hope is sure. And we need to take a look at this passage and see who are those whose hopes perish and those who endure. Let's take a look at the text itself. It says this again, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish. And the hope of strong men perishes. Another way to translate this is, and the hope of the unjust perishes. It's been translated either way, and can rightly go either way. We see this is an odd proverb in terms of what we've seen so far, because it doesn't compare and contrast. Ordinarily, most of the proverbs we've seen thus far says, here's the wicked and here's the righteous, and it goes back and forth, righteous and wicked. But here we just have one group of people, spoken of first as the wicked and secondly as the unjust. It speaks in parallel of their expectation and their hope. And again, in Hebrew, they're synonymous terms. It's speaking about the same thing. That here is this group of people, the wicked, the unjust. They have this thing, they have hope, they have an expectation. They have something that they're living for. There's something in front of them that they hope to gain someday. It's something they expect, that they hope in, trust in. What we find is that it perishes. Their hope perishes. Their expectation never comes about. It falls through. And when does this happen? When is it that their expectation or their hope perishes? It's at the day of their death. That when they die, their hopes die with them. All their expectations die with them. It's over. That's the group that's spoken of here. The wicked, the unjust, the unrighteous, the fool, to put it in other words in Proverbs, the person who turns his back on God. He lives his life with an expectancy, a hope, a good hope for something. And yet it crashes to the ground at the day of his death. All that he hoped for, planned for, longed for is lost. Now what's not stated here, but is strongly implied because of the way the rest of the Proverbs work, is that there's another group that's not spoken of, but you're expected to get it. When he talks about the wicked having a hope that perishes, what you're expected to get is that there's also another group of people. The righteous, the just, the wise. And that they also have an expectation. They also have a hope, and yet that hope endures. Within the context of chapter 11, we're pretty certain in saying that. Because in every other place, he's always giving one side and the other. And if you notice it, it almost gives it not more power by not saying it than by saying it. Because you've been set up all along through Proverbs to think, okay, he's told us about the wicked, he's going to tell us about the just, but he just kind of drops it and says, you fill in the blanks. You figure out the rest. You know what the other side is. And in fact, he's spoken of it in early Proverbs. So here, while we have stated explicitly the one group, the wicked at their death, their expectation perishes, the very strong implication is you have a second group, the righteous, and their hope endures forever. It never fails. Now, we say that the point of the passage is this, the hope of the wicked will certainly perish with them at his death, while the hope of the righteous shall endure forever. I just want to explain this a little bit. First of all, who are the wicked? Is it just saying there's this class of people that are really, really bad? And the really, really bad people, yeah, they don't get their hope. Now, there's your everyday people that are, you know, they try hard. They go through life trying to do the best that they can. But we're really only talking about the Hitlers, you know, the really terrible people throughout history. Well, according to Scripture, there's no one good. No, not one. There's no one who does right. There's none who seeks after God. The wicked is you and me, outside of Christ. We are all the wicked outside of Christ. And that's why we need to take this proverb seriously at first. So remember, outside of Christ, we have no hope. If we are the wicked, we're who the proverb's talking about, as those who hopes perish. Now, what is the hope of the wicked? They may have lots of different hopes. They may hope that they hit the lottery. They may hope that they become rich and famous, or that they marry somebody beautiful, or that they have lots of children. They have all kinds of hope. But what's the hope that's in view here that perishes? We can say it's two things that are tied together. One is the hope of heaven without holiness. It's the hope that I could still get to heaven and live like hell. That I could do whatever I want, and in the end, God won't hold me accountable. And the second hope is tied to it. It's the hope of heaven outside of Christ. It's that somehow, at the last day, God says, you know what? I don't want to send anybody to hell. So whether you've been in Christ or outside of Christ, everybody come in. And isn't that the hope of our world? When you hear people talk about what happens after death, go to a funeral, and how many people hear you saying, well, such a sorry thing that he's in hell. You don't hear that, do you? Unless the person was absolutely overtly wicked before the casket, everyone says, well, he's in a better place. That's the hope, isn't it? It's the hope of the wicked. It's the hope of that no matter how I live my life, no matter what I believe, in the end, it's salvation by death. If I die, I go to heaven. R.C. Sproul talked about once in one of his lectures about his son came to, it was either his son or his grandson, and he said, he was going to try to see where his son's heart was at. And he said, so I'll use the questions from Evangelism Explosion. And he said to his son, well, if you were to die tonight and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And he said, his son said, because I'm dead. But that's the hope of the wicked, isn't it? It's when I die, I get to go to heaven. It doesn't matter how I lived or what I believed. That's the hope of a perishing world, of a wicked world. That's the hope of everyone outside of Christ. That in the end, how I live will not matter. What I believe will not matter. I will have a wonderful eternity in glory. That's the hope of the wicked. And when does it perish? At the final day when we wake up from our death and stand before the Creator God in judgment. And He declares, I never knew you. When He points out our works and says they were wicked because they were not done to honor Him. And the tragedy of it all, then it's too late. Then you don't have a chance to go to plan B. You don't have a chance to say, well let me change some things here. If you watch the Dickens classic Christmas Carol, you know, and all throughout this season you'll see like 100 versions of or whatever. What is the hope that's given in the story? It's that Scrooge doesn't die that night. He has a chance to change. But see, in this proverb says, once you die, you don't have that chance. You don't die for a moment and God shows you the truth of the matter and then He says, now go back and let's see if you change your life. And you get a second try at this. At your death, when it's too late to change anything, that's when you realize your hope has perished. Your hope has died with you. And isn't it tragic? The wicked, everyone outside of Christ, hopes for heaven outside of holiness or Christ, and all of their hopes are dashed when they stand before a holy God and He declares His judgment against them because of their sin. This point, that the hope of the wicked will certainly perish with him in, you know, at his death, and that while the hope of the righteous shall endure forever, is confirmed in many parts in Scripture. Listen to Psalm 49. This is one of the Psalms of Korah. It says, hear this, all ye people, give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart
shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. See, here's the picture. Here's the man who lives his life, who's patting himself on the back. Look, I must be blessed of God. Look at all the stuff I have. Everything's going to be wonderful. I'll name my property after me. Because I'm just going to go on forever. He dies. It's like that's the end of it. But the psalmist who loves God says, but my hope doesn't perish. Surely God will deliver me. The hope of the wicked perishes at his death. But the hope of the righteous endures forever. In Luke 12, says one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, and he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to a man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I will do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth of treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, here's this man out of hope. I've got all this stuff. And I'm going to live forever. I've got all the stuff. I can just take my ease. And he dies. And it's the end of his hope. It's done. Because he wasn't rich towards God. All he thought about was the things of this world. In Luke 13, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and he has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then he shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, from the west, and from the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last shall be first, and there are first shall be last. He was speaking to the Jews, and he said, they who hoped for heaven, they hoped for glory, said, they'll be cast out. Why? Because they rejected Christ. They hoped for a heaven without Christ. And he says, the last, I said, I never knew you. And yet there will be those who placed their trust in Christ who were not of Israel, who were of the Gentiles, and yet they will enter in with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The hope of the wicked who rejected Christ perishes. But the hope of the righteous endures forever. And then lastly, in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Again, the wicked, though they sought to serve God, yet they were wicked, and their hope was dashed. Imagine that at the last day, to stand before the Lord, who you thought you served, and to rattle up all the things you did for Him, but you're still living in your wickedness, rejecting Christ, and to have at the last day that hope
Lord, I'm here. Haven't you been waiting for me? I mean, I've been working for you this whole time. And here, I never knew you. What a tragic end. And yet that's what the writer of Proverbs points us to. That the hope of the wicked man dies at his death. It perishes forever. The hope of the righteous endures forever. Never perishes. Well, what ought we to do then? First, to you who are the wicked, recognize your peril. Recognize that your hope of heaven without holiness will be dashed. You cannot live like hell and get to heaven. You can't live for you and be welcomed into the kingdom of God. It's a fairy tale. It's a fable. It's a false hope. You who trust in anything outside of Christ, you think just because you're sincere in whatever you might believe, you who trust in your own works, recognize your peril. That hope will perish. It will not endure. The day will come when you will see your folly, but it'll be too late for you to do anything about it. If you were among the wicked, which means you're outside of Christ, you have not trusted in Christ, turn from your sin, turn from your wickedness to holiness, turn from unbelief to faith. You who have not done that, your hope is a mirage. You're like the person dying of thirst in the desert, who sees a mirage of an oasis and is hoping to get there. And when you get there and you dip down your hands into what you think is a nice refreshing water, you pull it up and it's a handful of sand and you die. That's what your hope is. It's a false hope. You cannot have heaven without holiness. You cannot enter the kingdom outside of Christ. Your hope will perish. But to you who are righteous, those of you who have come to Christ in repentance and faith, what does this mean to you? Well, first off, it means don't envy the wicked. That's somewhat what's going on in Psalm 49 when he talks about it. He says, that's a great temptation. It's for us to look at the wicked and they seem to go through life without a care. As if they're so certain everything's going to be well after that. They just live this carefree life. They do whatever they want, and it's very easy for us to be jealous of them. Think, oh, if I only had the life. Look, they live however they are. Their conscience never bothers them. My conscience is always bothering me. They seem to not have to struggle through life. They just seem to have whatever they want. They do whatever they want. And it's this live and let live kind of, what a wonderful life they have. That's a great temptation, is to think that. In fact, that's what TV is always setting before us, isn't it? Look, you could live this way. There's never any consequences to sinful action. You do whatever you want and you just always end up happy. And then you die and you go to heaven. What a wonderful thing. And it's easy for us to envy the wicked until we recognize it's all a fairy tale. Until we recognize that their hope perishes at death. That no matter how well the rest of their life may seem, the end of it is always the same. Losing all hope. Despair for all eternity. So do not envy the wicked. And recognize that your hope is sure. It's not just an optimistic, I hope things get better. It's not just Annie singing tomorrow. It's a certain hope. You know that heaven is your inheritance. You know when you stand before God at the last day that He will not cast you off. He will say, you are one that I know. You are my child. Enter. Because you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that He lived the life of righteousness for you. And you know that He paid the penalty for your sin in His death. And you know that you can't add to or subtract from what He's done. That God accepts you for Jesus' sake. So you have a sure hope. You know that no matter what happens in this life, at the end, you have glory. At the end, you will be welcomed into the home of your Heavenly Father for Christ's sake. So you could live with joy in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. Because you have real hope. You have the certainty of what's to come. Proverbs 11:7 teaches us that the hope of the wicked man perishes at his death. But the hope of the righteous endures forever. If you are of the wicked, turn from your wickedness to Christ. Turn from your wicked fables and hopes of a heaven without holiness, a heaven without Christ, and embrace Christ by faith and turn from your sin. And you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how hard life gets at times, remember, your hope is sure, for it's found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And rejoice in the midst of your difficulties, knowing that your hope will never perish, but will endure forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us a hope that endures, that is more than just a naive optimism, Father, but is a certainty, for it's grounded in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those who are still walking in their folly, still having that hope that they could have heaven without holiness, that they could have heaven without Christ, Father, show them the folly of their way and give them the grace to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table this evening, we're going to sing a song that is not in the hymnal. It's in your bulletin. There should be an insert that has Lamb of God. Those of you who have been at Calvary for a long, you may remember a long, long time ago, in the early years of my pastor here, we would sing this many times at the Lord's Supper. We haven't sang it for many years, but it's in the bulletin and insert, Lamb of God, and we'll sing this together as we prepare to come to the Lord's table.
Upon